You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to today's edition of Think and Grow Rich, the International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show, where we walk through every Saturday morning Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. In today's show, we're going to be talking about the subject of persistence, something that I think we probably all struggle with from time to time. My name is Thomasina Williams. I am the owner of Sankofa Legacy Advisors, which helps families build generational success as their legacy. We have a full house this morning. I'm pleased to have on as co-host Ms. Robin Donaldson. Robin is the owner of Renew Construction Services. Ursula Odom, who is the owner of Sula 2, a publishing, performance, and creative arts firm. Carol Ransom is the owner of High Ground Construction Consulting, and we also have with us our very own Miss Angelique Frost, who is the owner of Marge Brand Luxury Beadline, maker of handcrafted women's bracelets. Our fearless leader, Ms. Ann McNeil, is traveling this morning and will not be able to join us, but we do also have a special guest, Ms. Nefreda Thomas. Nefreda is the owner of K&S Consultants, which specializes in out-of-home advertising. So this morning, as I said, we're going to be continuing on the chapter on persistence, and persistence is the eighth of the 13 steps that Napoleon Hill outlines as the success formula for riches. I'm going to turn the show over now to our lead host, Ms. Angelique Frost. Good morning, Angelique.
Good morning, Thomasina. Thank you so much for that introduction. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's October 27th of 2018, and we're finishing the second part of our persistence chapter in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. Last week, if you had the luxury or the pleasure of tuning in, we addressed the eight factors of persistence. And today we're going to do the second portion of this chapter because it's such of a large chapter and so detailed, and we feel as though the information is so vitally important for us to share with you. Because in this book, it states that persistence is something you must have. You can't have a little bit, a piece. You have to grasp the whole concept in order to win. Today, we will actually be addressing the 16 symptoms of the lack of persistence. This is actually addressed on page 170 if you have the book in front of you. And what we're going to do is we're each going to address these in four sections. So I'm going to call our first guest that we have, our co-host, Ms. Ursula, to go ahead and address the first four steps for us. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning. How are you? Well, I hope everyone out there is getting ready for a great day. And the four that I'm going to address are failure to recognize and clearly define exactly what one wants. That's the first one. And when I thought about that, I thought about an example of going into a big meeting where you're basically going into a rock star status. Where
I'm not sure. I'm waiting once I get this call.
You go into a meeting with someone that is really a superstar, and you're so excited about this meeting, and you get prepared for it, You do all the things that you would expect. You decide what you want to talk about and how you want to present yourself and the points you want to make about who you are and what you do. And then once the meeting is over and the person smiles and says, great job, then what decision do you want them to make? A part of the planning process is also knowing what you want to get out of that meeting and what follow-up procedures you're going to take after the meeting is over. So failure to recognize clearly and clearly define exactly what you want means that you can have this great opportunity, but you come away with nothing because you haven't planned the whole process through because you don't clearly know what you want. The second one is procrastination with or without cause. And now I'm going to step out of the professional arena but back in by saying that when I think about this, I think about the fact that especially during my most corporate years when I was going to work doing 9 to 5, I had to work all day, then come home and clean too and cook too. All right, yeah, we wanted to have it all. And I had to devise a means of getting some of the stuff done that I didn't want to do. And for cleaning the house, what I ended up doing was counting the number of rooms in the house. And then I'd say 10 minutes every room. And I actually had a timer that I still have to this day that I would put that timer on for 10 minutes and I'll go from room to room. And when that 10 minutes was up, I stopped. I was done. And I would go to the next room. And it didn't have to be right then. I might do it half an hour later, but each room got 10 minutes. And it's amazing what you can do when you're focused and you've decided that you're going to clearly do everything that you see in front of you that needs to be done in a 10-minute time frame. Now, back into the work environment, I now to this day have a board that says my workday, top 10 So the top ten things that are important to me, I will spend 30 minutes a day. And that way it spreads the time. Now, yes, there are some things that are going to take more than that, but I can clearly see what I neglected on one day and maybe pick it up the next day. So I start out the day saying I want to spend at least 30 minutes on everything that is important to me in my work environment for 30 minutes, those 10 things. Now, it may mean that you only have 5, so 5 things for an hour. Whatever the spread of your workload is, you determine how much time you can spend before you get bored and the work quality reduces. So that's how I handle procrastination. Lack of interest in acquiring specialized knowledge. The thing that this reminds me of is that at one point in time, I managed a group of people that were responsible for training technicians. So they were professionals. They knew how to present the information, and they could prepare that information. But when they presented the information to people who already knew the industry, if they didn't know something about the industry, it showed. So when you're talking about something you don't know anything about, people know it. They know what you don't know, and you don't even know you don't know it. So when you're presenting something, you should at least take the time to study what it is that you're doing, or if you're working in an industry or you're talking to someone, prepare. Find out at least what you don't know. Then you can ask intelligent questions at least. So that's number 3. And number 4, it says indecision, the habit of passing the buck on all occasions instead of facing issues squarely. So my thought about that is that those are time wasters. I mean, you worry so much about what you don't want to do and who should do it, and then when you realize it, that you spent more time trying to pass it on to somebody else than just actually doing it. And it's an energy sucker because what happens is it just drains the energy out of you because you're so worried about you don't want to do it. I mean, like there are times when I get up and I just don't want to go to a meeting that I know that I'm supposed to go to. I agonize over that thing. Oh, my goodness, I don't want to go. And lo and behold, that meeting ended up being the very thing that I needed to do because I met somebody that really could make a difference in my life. And how much energy did I spend trying not to go to something I needed to go to? And then a lot of times when you're trying to pass the buck in terms of responsibility, you end up doing it anyway. So it's just a waste of time and a drain on your energy. So thank you very much. Those are the things that I think about when I see those four symptoms of lack of persistence. You know, just get it done.
Thank you so much, Ms. Ursula. I really enjoyed you sharing. Once again, we're reviewing. That was the first four steps of the 16 steps of lack of persistence. And when you were speaking, something popped in my head as though, like, what if everyone in the world just did what they wanted to do and not what they needed to do? Like, where would the world be if we kind of, you know, Lord, like, help us, like, they at least created something where some people were able to take the initiative and have persistence. And it's like, what if Jesus Christ came and was like, you know what, I don't feel like living up to this anymore. I don't think this is for me. Or Martin Luther King would have said, you know what, we've come to a roadblock. We have to stop at this point. So in all the great leaders, this is something that I'm showing that was kind of undefined. This is like the secret that allowed them to keep going and not be overwhelmed or outdone, just having the will to keep going. So this is your host again, Angelique, and I'm going to address 5 through 8. Number 5, the habit of relying upon alibis instead of creating definite plans for the solution of problems. Number 6, self-satisfaction. There is but little remedy for the affliction and no hope for those who suffer from it. And number 7 is indifference, usually reflected in one's readiness to compromise on all occasions rather than meet opposition and fight it. And 8, the habit of blaming others for one's mistakes and accepting unfavorable circumstances and being unavoidable. Of course, no one on this call does that. No one ever points a finger at someone else and says, oh, this is your fault and not mine. You know, between 5 and 8, I found one common interest out of all of these. You know, I think sometimes in our life we get caught up because we have to, you know, create income and revenue in order to support our bills. Where, you know, God could be telling you or calling you to do something else. And for some reason, I run into people all the time that's like, I don't think he was talking to me. Or I'm not sure if this is what it was. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, so do you think it's a coincidence that you're the only one that heard this or that you have these hidden talents in order to get this accomplished? So through 5 through 8, before we go to our next person that's going to, which is Thomasina, I just want to say if anyone is listening, there is no way that you can take something that God has given you and go consult it with another person. That would be impossible because we have to remember that God is a God. He's not a man. And a lot of times the things that he gives you is so big and so far out there to we're so scared to jump off of that cliff. And God is all the time like, yes, I'm talking to you. It's you I'm talking. You're the only one that can hear this. You know, so don't take what your talents are or what it is you love to do or what makes you happy and go try to consult it with another person. You know, because God is so big, he'll give you a vision that's inside of a vision. He'll give you a vision that is so clear that you have to invite people in on your vision. So that would be what I got out of 5 and 8. So we're going to grab our next co-host, I shall say, Thomasina, to address 9 through 12 for us. Thomasina, are you there?
Yes, I am, Angelique. Thank you very much. And for anyone who has just joined in on today's show, we are in Chapter 8 on persistence. Persistence is the 8th of the 13 steps that Napoleon Hill outlines in Think and Grow Rich, his classic book about how to achieve success. Today we're talking about the 16 symptoms of the lack of persistence. And I'm going to share symptoms 9 through 12. 9 is weakness of desire. resulting from neglect in the choice of motives that impel action. And you'll recall that weakness of desire really harkens back to what Napoleon Hill says is the very first step, and that is to have a strong, pressing desire. Number 10, willingness, even eagerness, to quit at the first sign of defeat. And this is usually based upon one or more of the six basic fears. Those six basic fears, according to Napoleon Hill, are the fear of poverty, fear of criticism, fear of ill health, fear of loss of love, fear of old age, and fear of death. He says that fear and sometimes even eagerness to quit at the sign of any of these fears is the 10th symptom of lack of persistence. Number 11 is lack of organized plans placed in writing where they may be analyzed. And we just finished quite a long series on organized planning as the 6th step in the 13-step formula. Number 12 is the habit of neglecting to move on ideas or to grasp opportunity when it presents itself. Step five in the 13-step formula is imagination, the ideas that come to us. And as Angelique was just sharing, they come to us for a reason. We're meant to act on them. But when we neglect to move on the ideas that have been given to us, we miss the opportunities available, which is another symptom of the lack of persistence. That's 9 through 12, Angelique.
Thank you so much, Thomasina. I really appreciate that. And, you know, with most of us, planners, I don't know about you ladies for that's on the call with me or our listeners that are listening in. And by the way, if anyone on the phone actually has a question, if you could press the number 1, we would love to get any of the questions or address any of our guests that we have. Sometimes if you put in the plan and you don't see it, it actually kind of can pass you by, or if you don't have an alarm. In the book, it teaches you if you place something like a definite purpose or a plan, once you look at it, it actually taps into your subconscious mind, because that works while you're woke, not while you're sleeping. But I think that was very good for you to point out, Thomasina, and thank you so much for sharing. Okay, and we have Ms. Robin Donaldson that's going to address 13 through 16 for us. Robin, are you there?
I am here, and good morning, everyone. 13.
Thank you.
3. Wishing instead of willing. Number 14 is the habit of compromising with poverty instead of aiming at riches. General absence of ambition to be, to do, and to own. And the last two are the two symptoms that really resonated with me. Number 15, searching for all the shortcuts to riches and trying to get without giving. A fair equivalent usually reflected in the habit of gambling or endeavoring to drive sharp bargains. So there's a saying that would describe me, that if there was a loophole, Robin would know how to find it. Or I'm looking for the right way to do the wrong thing. And that made me think about my economic professor. He's like, Robin, there's a problem that requires 12 steps, but you're trying to get it in 5. And I would always say, well, you know, most of the time I get the correct answer. And he says, most of the time you might. He says, but also there's a larger percentage or chance that you would get it wrong. And, I mean, from that, again, is just understanding that to get something like that correct is like a 1 in a million chance. And, again, this particular symptom is described as this fear that will show up in the habit of gambling. And again, if we are someone who's very serious about achieving their goal, we have a plan, and that plan is to be followed explicitly, not to gamble. And for number 16, which really, really resonated with me, is the fear of criticism, which leads to failure plans and put them into action because of what other people will think, do, or say. This enemy is very powerful because it belongs excuse me, at the head of the list because it generally exists in one's subconscious mind. So, again, this particular symptom resonated with me because I've always been a people pleaser, especially when it comes to my family members, because they have their preconceived notion of what it is that I should be and how I should go or the route I should take. And also noticing in this particular chapter, family, relatives, and friends are mentioned multiple times because they have the most power and impact on you and your decisions. So, I'm sorry. And then, so again, for me, it was just the fear of disappointing my family members. And again, that would be the number 16 of the 16 symptoms of lack of persistence.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Robin. And you know, I had done an analysis and I had gone around and I asked everyone. We were at a meeting one time, and I'm like, who in their family doesn't have someone that's negative? Just with a show of hands. And, you know, Robin, what I call them is don't tellers. It's like this mm-hmm. person that has never really reached their level or height to accomplish what they really were sent for are so crucial and critical of someone just because they didn't reach their own height. Or you want to, like, kind of box me in or shelter me in. Oh, that can't be done. Or don't reach too high. Make sure you reach it at a level playing field. And it's like, man, listen, if I jump, I'd rather jump than never say I jump. And even if I do jump, the worst thing that'll happen is things will just stay the same. So either way, I'm kind of leveling out, you know? And so that's something that I would love for us to address, to be very mindful of. You know, you have to know, until you, in the book it teaches you, until you fulfill your definite purpose, you will be kind of lost. You will find yourself having all these traits or all these gifts. You're trying to figure out which one is it that I'm supposed to be doing, which one is it that I want. And it's because you're focusing on too many things at one time. The book teaches you that 98% of the people in the world have not discovered their definite purpose yet. So it's kind of like either having the tools to accomplish a mission and not having a map, or either having the map and you know where to go and you don't have the tools. So you have to kind of do a self-analysis. And ladies, or, you know, listeners on the call, this is something that all of us that are on this call share. We all share the desire to accomplish. We all at some point have been met with temporary defeat. And we all have found a way to either overcome or say to ourselves, we're going to keep going. We're going to stick to this. And we're not just going to start it. We're going to finish it. So for the ladies that's on the call, the listeners and my colleagues that was able to join me this morning, you know, if you ever got off that road, I need you to do a self-analysis to see, why did I get off? Why am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing at this point? And we actually have a testimony with one of our lovely guests. We are going to go to a commercial break, and we have someone that has actually applied this and have overcame, because, ladies, this is something that we're living. This isn't just a book that we're saying we're going through chapter by chapter, and we're not applying it. We're reaching out to reach people and saying, this is something that's happened. Give it an opportunity. Try it and see if you're able to apply it, and you will see a change. As long as you believe, you read the knowledge, and you apply it, you will see a shift take place. So we're going to take a small commercial break, and then our co-host, Ms. Carol, is going to take over, and we have a lovely guest, Ms. Nefreda Thomas, that's going to join us and share her journey along the way. Stay tuned, guys. We have a very exciting second piece. Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And we are back live on today's edition of Think and Grow Rich, the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk radio show. We're marching through Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. And this morning we're discussing the subject of persistence. We've talked about the 16 symptoms that indicate a lack of persistence. And now my co-host, Carol Ransom, is going to take over and interview our special guest, Ms. Nefreda Thomas. Carol, to you.
Yes, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do want to welcome you to the Mastermind, International Mastermind Group, Think and Grow Rich. This morning we have an incredible guest, Ms. Thomasina, and we're going to allow her the opportunity to introduce herself to our listening audience. Good morning, Thomasina.
Actually, the guest is Ms. Nefreda Thomas.
Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Great, Nefreda. Thank you for joining us.
Great. I wanted to make sure, I had to make sure I was on. Good morning, everyone. I wanted to welcome the guests and thank them so much for listening this morning. This is my second time as a guest on the show, and I'm very excited about continuing to march through the Chapter 8 and persistence. And I wanted to introduce myself first. My name is Nefreda Thomas, and I am the president and CEO of K&S Media Consultants, Inc., and I am considered a person that is well-versed in out-of-home media. Out-of-home media is anything that is outside advertising. That would be bus bench wrapping, billboards, and that goes for billboards that you actually get them up in the ground, as well as the advertising that is seen on them as you travel up and down the different levels of highways, which would be just Florida Turnpike, your rural areas, as well as I-95. So our main objective is to sell billboard space for advertising. So that we call it an out-of-home advertising, and that is one of my specialties. So for my business, I decided to start this business, just to give you a little bit of a background. I decided to start this business after working with Clear Channel Outdoor for over 12 years, and I stepped out of that arena, and I became a consultant to the arena. I also am a lobbyist, and I lobbied for them on several occasions for several things that they needed and for other firms as well. So this has been a really exciting journey for me in this particular arena of business. And it's also a very unique business. So based on some of the arenas that I travel in, it's news to a lot of people. So I'm also introducing my business to a lot of people that's been around for a long time because of the way I've decided to package it. And I came up with this idea by just reading through Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich and understanding that you have got to create your own wins in so many instances. So I just want to say that that's a little bit about me. And as it relates to the chapter persistence, as I went over in the first meeting, in persistence, I actually can relate to each and every last one of those things that they talk about. I believe it's on page, if those of you who are following us, the 8 factors of persistence. We were on that the other week, and I went through that, and each one of those factors had something to do with how I got to where I am now. And I talked about, you know, the fact that I actually had so many challenges and so many things that I had not accomplished. I was feeling inferior in a lot of ways. So I did not accomplish getting my degree. You know, life happens. I went off to FAMU. That didn't take place. I didn't graduate from there. Did halfway decent in school. Really focused a lot on just being excited about being away from home, and just got caught up in setology, which is being on the set at FAMU, you know, walking being up on the, I did not really pay attention to going to go to class. I didn't do those things well. So since that time, I have decided that I did want to have an accomplishment. So I got accepted to Barry University. And when I got accepted to Barry University back in 2014, it was a very scary thing after not being in school for over 20 years. And then I went back, and needless to say, it was an experience that I really could not explain because I had a different mindset. And I graduated from Barry University as cum laude in 2016, December, and I went right into the master's program. And this December, December 15th, 2018, if the Lord says the same, I will be graduating from Barry University with my master's degree with honors. So I am so thankful to say that persistence is what got me to where I am right now, and by the grace of God, without saying. So that's just a little bit about me, Carol.
Wow, it sounds like an incredible journey to hear how you went from almost not attending classes in school to going to the front of the line in a master's degree. That says a lot about your persistence. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you overcame? I heard you mention when people don't believe in your dreams. When others don't embrace your dreams, can you talk to us a little bit more on what formula did you use? What did you embrace from Napoleon Hill's philosophy to get you past that point?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I think that's the crux of what gets all of us through is that Miss Donaldson, Robin said it earlier. She said that her biggest issue was fear of not being accepted or listening to the rantings of her family that they were not as supportive. And when you're going in another direction from other people that they think you should be going in when they're not really living your life, you tend to latch on to that because they're your biggest influence. And for me, they were the people that I needed to satisfy. So I will say that the beginning of it was about me wanting to satisfy others and not necessarily myself. So now I got into a mastermind group at the age of 28 years old. And that's when I started turning my thought process around. But I'm not going to say how old I am now, but it did take quite a while for it to click. So that really taught me we should never give up on people and where they are because they get there. If they stay persistent in the process will get them to the end result, no matter how long that takes. And so for me, to answer your question, what I did was, I sat around and I listened to these women, these powerful women that I sat around every Saturday morning at 8, and I was excited to go and hear their stories until it dawned on me, when am I going to have a story to tell? When am I going to have a dream that resonates with Nefreda, not just resonates with what somebody else believes I should have, but what is it that I want to have? And that was the beauty about the mastermind group I was in, that we supported whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to sell widgets, we supported you in selling those widgets. We never gave our opinion on, well, that's not going to bring you any money. That's not going to do anything. We never did that. So that alone allowed me to stand on my own 2 feet and overcome the fear of people and stand on my own 2 feet and say, well, this is what I want to do, no matter whether it's what you want to do, what you don't want to do, it's what I want to do. So that, for me, if I don't know if I answered your question, I hope I did, but that is what was really a starting point for me, is having my mind change and sitting around positive people that had their own individual dreams that helped me figure out what was my individual dream.
Yes. Oh, what an incredible story. So you're focusing on you and your inner strength, but you're drawing from other women who have already lived their dream, and that's powerful in and of itself. That is very powerful.
Yeah, that was amazing. I must admit, that really was. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but just to harp on what you're saying, what the key is, they were all individuals. So I wasn't saying, oh, I want to be just like her. Or, I want to do what she's doing. I had my. They taught me that I need to have my own individual dream, and whatever that is, we're going to support that. If you wanted to be a street sweeper, we'll help you be a street sweeper. That's what you wanted. So we supported. Everybody was there as a group, but we were all there as individuals. And it's very, very powerful to be able to do both of those things at the same time.
That's great. Do we have any? Again, we're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is the International Mastermind. We're talking to you this morning about persistence. And what a profound story you shared with us this morning about how you endured, past, and through. Did we have any comments? Did anyone want to add any comments to what's been shared already?
This is Thomasina, Carol, and I just want to say my hat's off to Nefreda. It is a powerful story about persistence. And actually, as I listened to you talk about having gone to school as a young woman, not finished, and then 20 years later to have the courage to go back, to not only go back to school, but then to graduate at the top of your class. Your story really, I think, pulls together a number of the different steps of what Napoleon Hill says is the formula for success. You had that burning desire. You decided that you wanted to have an accomplishment, that there is something that you wanted to do, and that was to get your degree. And not only did you get your degree, you went, but you went in style and went to the top of the line. So that desire, I think, is obviously really important. And to go back to school as an adult who has a family, who has responsibilities, obviously requires a lot of organized planning. And to not only go back to school, but as I said, to study such that you were able to graduate cum laude, the top of your class, is also quite an accomplishment and a testament to the need for organized plans and making it all somehow come together. I love how you talked about coming up with the idea for your business, something that a lot of people don't know about and something that came to you through your imagination, which is the fifth step in the Step to Riches. So, again, your story is a beautiful demonstration of how pulling all the pieces together really does get you to where it is that you want to go. One of the things I'm always curious about, I know for myself that no matter how great things can be going at times, there are always going to be some down moments, some times when I question myself, when I doubt, when I wonder whether this is all worth it. Can you share with our listening audience what it is that you have done in those moments where you're starting to doubt yourself and you're wondering whether you can get to where it is that you're trying to go?
Thomasina, thank you so much for asking that, because I was sitting here as you were talking. I wanted to jump in so many times. I had to remember that we're on a radio show, so I can't just jump in and say, yeah. I couldn't just do that, but I am so glad you're here. It really leads into what I wanted to say when you were, you know, talking about the things I said and the things I've actually tried to accomplish. And I really have not accomplished it without support and without help. I have to keep going back to that, which if we think about the entire portion of the entire process of Napoleon Hill, it is about support. It is about support. He talks about the mastermind group. And what I didn't share, to really get into your question you just asked about those moments, during the time, Thomasina, that I was in school and I had gone back to school, I was taking care of my mother, who was dying of Alzheimer's, and I was taking care of, I took care of her for 5 years. And it was a very, very grueling time and a very depressing time. I believe you know my mom, and quite a few people know my mother and the kind of woman that she was. And to go to school, take care of my family. I had six nurses. that I was paying. It was like I was running a business, a separate business from the business I started. I had just started my business. I was taking care of my mother, and that required me to have nurses here around the clock. So I had to come up with a payroll system that I was responsible for. I couldn't afford to pay a payroll firm to take care of that. And I had to do homework, and I had to do it at the top of my class. So when I had those moments where I felt like everything was closing in and it was about to pop, I would take a day to myself. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was my mastermind group that understood where I was, as we did for each other, and they would do special things for me. Like, for instance, Miss McNeil invited me to one of the Odyssey events. She was a speaker there, and she told me to come up for the day. That one day or 2 days that I was there, it took my mind off of everything. It allowed me to remember my purpose and why I was in the situation that I was in, and that the end of that situation, because things are not that way, all, you know, it's not always bad. Things do change. And I didn't view it as bad. I viewed it as it was my gift to my mother. That's how I looked at it. So because I was able to internalize that and look at it that way, I was able to step out of myself, if you will, and whatever I felt that vice situation was, and allow myself to be free and re-energized and step back in, but with a different mindset. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's what I had to do for me. And I had the support of my mastermind family to help me get through those times.
That is great. That is great. You absolutely answered the question and touched on two more steps in the formula. Basically, training your mind to be positive, to look at the good in the situation, to have gratitude. That harkens back to the step on auto-suggestion, which is the third step Napoleon Hill talks about, influencing our subconscious mind so that we stay positive, we stay focused on the good and what the goal is. And then, of course, the reliance on the mastermind, which is what it's all about. That is the next chapter in the book. Our next chapter will be focusing on the power of the mastermind. For those who are just tuning in, we are marching through Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. Today we're talking about the subject of persistence. Our special guest is Ms. Nefreda Thomas. If you have a question or a comment and would like to join the conversation, please press number 1 on your telephone pad. That essentially raises your hand, and we will invite you into the conversation. We're going to take a commercial break and be right back.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And welcome back to today's edition of Think and Grow Rich, the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk radio show. This morning we're talking about the subject of persistence. And we have a caller on the line who has a comment or a question. I'm going to go to the caller whose number ends in 0184. Caller whose number ends in 0184. Your comment or your question?
And good morning. This is Ann McNeil on a Southwest flight arriving in Jacksonville, but I could not resist asking Ms. Thomas a question. Ms. Thomas, could you share with our listeners how did you come in contact with this book? Could you share that story, please?
Yes, Ms. McNeil, I'll be glad to share that story. I'm assuming Ms. McNeil asked that question because she knows that this is not a short story, but I will do my best to shorten it. I was living with my mother in Miami Lakes with my two children. At that time, my girls were maybe 3 and 7. I may have the numbers right, but they were babies to some degree. And my mother had 3 big couches in her living room. She had a 2-bedroom home. And I and my girl slept on that couch. And I had a job and the whole 9 yards. But I believed that I would always be with my mom. I would never be apart from my mother. My mother moved, I'm moving. And it doesn't matter if I got kids or no kids. We going with my mama. And so I was so dependent on her in terms of the fact that I never thought that I would be apart from her. I never got that indication. I always just, you know, mama. I mean, you know about death, but still, at that stage in my life, it's just that she would never be. I would never be apart from her. And so Anne and my mother were very, very close friends. And she came to me and she said, Nefred, I want to take you out for some lunch or something. I was ornery. I was very difficult to deal with, terrible attitude, the whole 9 yards. I just was really just full of, I wouldn't say full of myself, but just full of everything else that didn't reflect myself. And so it really was difficult to deal with me. Always got something to say, always got to respond back, you know, and it's never positive, just ornery. So I said, well, she want to take me to lunch. I don't know why I want to go somewhere with her. So we went anyway, and I thought she was going to buy me lunch. We got there and ordered some tea. I was so through with her when she ordered that tea, because I thought we were going to have something to eat. That's just how, you know, how I was. So she asked me, she said, Nefer, you know, I brought you out today because I wanted to ask you a question. Where did you see yourself going from here? And my response to her was, oh, I'm going back home when I leave here. And it was like, she was like, wow, this is going to be a test for me. You know, Anne, like, this is going to be a test for her because it's like, you know, her mind really is way out in left field somewhere. She's not even with us. And so she went on to explain to me about how I needed to be mindful that my mother had a life that she wanted to live too. And it was a portion of that would be apart from me. She wanted to have her own life. And I'm like, oh, my mama, she want me to be with her. That's my mama want me to be with her. And Ann said, Nefreda, it's not that your mother don't love you, and it's not that she doesn't want you to be with her, but you have got to find your own way. I said, I got a job. You know, I just had an answer for everything. I got all the answers. And she said, well, what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to take this book, and I'd like you to start reading. At that time, you know, it was important to hear the little paperback book with the green and yellow writing. So I took the little book. I said, oh, child, I don't know a whole lot of reading. That's what I said to her. And so she said, well, do me a favor and just take the book with you. And if you choose to read it, the best way to start reading if you don't read, it's your book, so tear out a page and just read that one page. And if it interests you, you'll want to read the next page. So I took the book home, and I was so, you know, just in my own mind. I was just so, you know, so distraught about the whole conversation and didn't have a little attitude. So I threw that book, you know, on the couch somewhere, and I didn't even pay no attention. Maybe about the next day, her comments started getting to me. And so I said, let me pick this book up. So I read the first page. And I put the book, I tore the page out. I took the book with me, took the page with me. And when I took the page with me and read the first page, I could not wait to get back home to pick up and find out what was happening on the next page. I'm a nosy person, too. So I wanted to find out what happened on the next page. So I went and got that book. And when I tell you all that I finished that book sitting up in my mama's house on my couch that I switched for that night, And I felt like so small because of the way that book makes you realize that you need to think versus the way I was thinking. So that is how I got started with that book. That is how I got started, having to realize that I needed to have my own life and having to realize that I was really more of a burden to my mother than an assistance to her at that time. And what I did not know is that God was preparing me then for what I was going to have to do to my mother later. I had no idea.
That is amazing. That is an amazing story. And, you know, we thank the author, Napoleon Hill, for the spiritual underlining in this book. This book does provoke us. And, you know, when you were telling that part of the story about your earlier self, that part of you that was resistant to reading, that knew everything, I tell you, I recognize that girl. I recognize that woman because so many of us have been just been in that place. And we all know how life-changing this book could be. And I tell you, your story is simply incredible. Part of what when you were relaying about your story, I was seeing that chapter in the book, that part of the book that tells us about the little girl who went to the master and she needed that quarter or that dime. And she stood there not knowing if she was going to get it or not, if she was going to get hit or smacked or whatever it is she needed to have it. And she was willing
to
endure it.
That's
and
right.
It sounds
that's
like,
right.
Yes, that you reached that pinnacle. You reached that place in your life where you were faced with new decisions. And it sounds like you have such
exactly.
a great outcome.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you know what, Kel?
Yes.
You know, in Finger, which on page 164 in Persistence, it says, weak desires bring weak results, just as a small amount of fire makes a small amount of heat. Can you imagine not having any desires? Can you imagine that to the 10th power and not having any desires? That is where I started from, not understanding that a desire is necessary to march through this life successfully. Did not get it, didn't understand it, didn't want to. And when that hit me like a ton of bricks all in one night, it really depicts how Anne talks about her story about how she realized that her ladder was leaning against the wrong wall and she had to move her ladder and how she had to change everything around in that one night. And this book is so powerful. Anybody who's listening to this to our show and who has not picked up this book, my suggestion is to do the tear the page out. And I guarantee you, you're not going to be able to wait to run back home to figure out what the rest of it says. I really, 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 it started out with somebody caring about my mother and caring about me as well and seeing that I could be so much more than I had allowed myself to become. And that's what was really touching for me.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. We appreciate you sharing with us today. And this is Napoleon Hill. The group is the International Mastermind, and we're talking about the book Think and Grow Rich, which is truly a classic. Thomasina, did you want to add something?
Yes, I think it's time for us to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we will open the phone lines for any of our guests who have a comment or a question. You can press the number 1 on your phone pad. We'll go to a commercial break, hear from our guests with any questions or comments, and then I think we can close out the show, Carol.
Great. Thank you.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we are back live for the discussion about persistence. I'm going to go now to our fearless leader, the master builder, Ms. Ann McNeil, who is in large part responsible for us being here every single Saturday morning discussing this phenomenal book, Think and Grow Rich. Ann?
Thank you so very much, phenomenal women, and phenomenal show this is. I am so excited to hear Ms. Thomas's breakthrough, because I think when we break through, we can go too, whatever God's will and purpose is for our lives. So thank you, everybody. I want to also encourage all of our listeners to join us every single Saturday morning, no matter where you are in the world. You can go back and listen to these shows. And remember to think and grow rich. But you must have a dream in order to have a dream come true. So, Thomasina, I just want to wrap up with that and thank everybody for participating, because as we think about whatever it is that we want, like Nefreda mentioned earlier, little desires and little dreams and little efforts, little accomplishments. So that's it for me, Thomasina, and everybody, thank you so very much for continuing to carry, keep the dream alive.
Thank you, Ann. And we're going to close this morning's show by reminding all of our listeners, and perhaps sharing for the first time if you're new, that the first Saturday of every year, the International Mastermind Association hosts a Think and Grow Rich accountability meeting. This year's meeting will be on the first Saturday in January, January 5th, 2019. We would encourage you to come to Boca Raton and join us in person for that meeting to meet a number of our hosts who you hear from every Saturday and to help you get your new year started off on the right track. There is a link to information and registration for attending the annual meeting on our Blog Talk page. You can also go to Eventbrite and search Think and Grow Rich Annual Accountability Meeting. And with that, we're going to thank both our co-host and our special guest, Mr. Freda Thomas, for joining us this morning. And remember to think and grow rich. We look forward to seeing you next Saturday morning.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.